Adonai rohiv lo echsar. Binaot deshe yarpitzeni.
Aunque ande en valle de sombra y de muerte, no temeré mal alguno.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
So you may be wondering what in the world that video was. We are in a new series. We just got done with Galatians for a number of weeks, but we're starting a new series today, Ancient Prayers for Modern Life, a study of the Psalms. So I'll talk about that more in a minute. But two things I want to highlight before I get into our message today. One, I'm just sensing that a little bit that the Lord just wants us to extend this service today a little bit. So if we go 1 hour, 3 hours, all our Texas A&M fans, you just got to go with it. So sorry to keep you here. I know they're in the World Series, championship, but just go. Totally kidding. You'll get out of here on normal time. But just wanted to put that out there as a little bit of a laugh. But number two, over these past number of weeks, this past series we've been in, you have seen a little bit of a posture of me being teaching about 50% of the time, and there's been some people have brought questions. Hey, why is that? Because there's purpose with that. I shared at the beginning of the Galatians series, my heart for us as a church is for our elders to be known, for teaching gifts to be on display, for women to exhort us through the scriptures and their stories. And my heart for us as a church family is that all our gifts are put in the middle and be on display for the common good and the building up of our body. And I think I've just been so encouraged to hear Kirk last week, Robbie Main, Richard Carey, one of our teachers, the women up here on Mother's Day. But we've been better because of it, I believe. And I'm protective of this space because I know and I just truly hold Scripture in the highest authority possible. But I've also been encouraged because that is the body at large. It's not built on one person, one communicator. It's built on Christ as the head and the body that flows up into it. And so I've wanted to represent that. And it'll be this way for these coming weeks too, as some of our staff teach in these coming weeks ahead. But really, after that, starting in August and September, we're going to be going into some missional alignment where we're going, but also Genesis, where we're going to be talking through some deep, beautiful things. I'm excited for that series. We're talking about gender roles, sexual identity, sanctity of life, some really easy stuff. But that stuff, that is the stuff that gets me excited because I believe Scripture speaks to all of it. And it speaks to God's good design with it. But I just wanted to highlight that for us as to answer any questions you may have with regards to that. But over these next 6 weeks, like I mentioned, we'll be diving into this series, Ancient Prayers for Modern Life, a Study of the Psalms. And my northern accent might give it in the way of Psalms because I might have the northern accent spin on it. So just go with it. But I'm excited for this series in more ways than one. I'm excited to teach you the different psalms that we'll put before us. Today I'll be teaching on praise. But there's psalms of lament, there's psalms of thanksgiving and confidence and kingship and wisdom that we will discuss over this time. And at the heartbeat of all the psalms are their songs or poems or prayers at the base level of all of our psalms. And prayers of our human experience and our relationship with God. And so when I say prayer, here's what I define it for us as this series. It'll be on the screen. Prayer is a continuous posture of dependence on an all-powerful, sovereign, and loving God that we are invited into. It's a continuous posture of dependence on an all-powerful, sovereign, and loving God that we are invited into because of Christ's allowance and acceptance of Him so that we can pray and depend on a holy God, my heart for us throughout this series is that we don't only teach on it from a personal and individual perspective, but we teach on these things from a corporate perspective. We teach on lamenting, not in our own, just in our own walk with the Lord, but lamenting as a body together over the sin that so easily binds us. To give thanksgiving between us and the Lord, but as a body together, like we celebrated in Thanksgiving a few months in December, we just shared out corporately what God was doing and encouraged our hearts. So we'll be cultivating that throughout these number of weeks. So today we're going to be focusing on Psalm 29 with a focus on praise. So if you want to turn there, I'll get to it, reading it in a little bit. But before I do, I want to share something that happened last week and really over this past period of time that I've gotten the opportunity to teach here. Last week was Father's Day, and we were spending some time with our friends and their parents at their parents' farm, and we got talking about sayings that I'm not used to not being from the South or being from Texas. And so there was a few sayings that I probably can't say publicly, but one of the ones was something that I never heard, which was Monday week. Monday week. I think I said that right. That's a saying that people are like, maybe you're like, what in the world is that? I didn't know it either, so you're welcome. But that means a week from Monday, right? Monday week. And I was like, okay. Another one that I heard was, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I'm like, Lord willing, and first of all, it's creek, not crick. But that all that means is, hey, and I'm again from New York. Just shoot me straight and just say I may be there, I may not. You know what I mean? Just say it straight outright to me. But another one that I've learned throughout this period of time is that has multiple many meanings is bless your heart, right? I think this term bless your heart has endless meanings. It could be an endearing phrase like, oh, bless their heart. They did something kind or good. Or it could be means like you're a fool, right? Bless their heart. And it has many more meanings on from there besides those. In our Christian world, in our Christian culture, we also have many sayings we say. I didn't grow up in the church, but I really got up to date on some of our Christianese phrases that we often use. One of the ones, the first one I heard, and I'm just like, it's just hard. Hey, I just want to extend the right hand of fellowship to you. I'm like, the right hand of fellowship. Or what's another one? We just pray a hedge of protection around. Like, what's a hedge of protection? Or, you know, we just play traveling mercies. Traveling, we use these words so often that we kind of like silo outsiders from the church. And I'm not dogging the words, I'm just saying like we use these phrases so much. And one of the ones particular we use is the words praise God. Hey, man, when something good happens, praise God. You know, we're going to sing a song of worship and praise to our Lord today. Or that person's really praising, they're raising their hands, getting after it with the Lord right now, right? This word praise has so many different meanings within our Christian culture that I think we've actually diminished the value and the beauty and depth of what praise actually is. And so today, we will be reading from Psalm 29 to rediscover, hey, what is the heartbeat of being a people of praise? And I think David speaks to this in this psalm. So we're going to discover that and rediscover it for our modern lives, the deep meaning of praise today. And so we'll read, if you have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen if you don't, but we'll read through the whole Psalm 29. David writes, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. So there's several insights I want to take away from what David writes there. But one of the first insights I want to put before us is this. Praise is a prayer that begins with the right understanding of position, our position and vision. Praise is a prayer that begins with the right understanding of our position and a correct vision. What do I mean when I say right position and vision for us today? Well, in looking at Psalms and in studying Scripture, the construction of how something is put together really matters as it relates to the Psalms. Like, how things are positioned within the writing matters. And we find that in verse 1 and 2, where David instructs, he says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." For us to give glory to God that he is due, an acknowledgement of who he is and our role in relation to his. And if you read in the, it bookends in verse 10, it says, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever." You see, this construction is intentional as it declares the positional reality that David has in his relationship with the Lord. So that's the positional reality that we have. But in verses 3 through 9, what we read is that David is positioning that his voice is over the waters. His voice is powerful. It's full of majesty. It flashes. It shakes the wilderness. It makes the deer give birth. All of this is a declaration of the vision that David has for seeing God over all and in all things. That's the construction that is intentional in this. And why does any of this matter in relationship to praise? Because without humility to understand our true position in the relationship with God, and without true vision of who God fully is, praise will not be fully embraced. Without true humility to understand our position in relationship with a holy God, and without true vision to see who God fully is, we will not begin to fully embrace a lifestyle of praise. Let me explain a little bit more with that. Like I mentioned, last week was Father's Day, and generally, my daughter is 9 years old, and through this 9 years of her life, she generally, rightfully so, doesn't fully understand the role of my provision for her life, little life. She doesn't understand that where the money comes from, right? She doesn't understand that I have to have a job that actually takes care to buy the food that she eats, to pay for the gas to get her to the event, to have the insurance on the home just in case a tree falls on it. And she doesn't understand that these things actually don't just happen. So she doesn't understand the full reality there. But there are glimmers of moments like this past Father's Day. I wish I had the card she wrote. She drew me a card and wrote a message that I will share with you. And whenever she draws a picture of me, I have this French fry hair that just goes up. And I still don't know why, but maybe it's the half part that I still have. Anyways, she wrote these words to me in the card. And she said, "Dad, you are my daddy, and I am your daughter." And I love how when things happen, when things change, you are calm and steady through them, and you hold us together. Cue the tears from my eyes coming. "Daddy, you are my daddy. You hold all things together when things are coming." She was just coming off of that experience with trees falling on her house while we were in it, so there was a lot in her heart that was coming out. But what she is saying in that statement, what she has written in the card, she's acknowledging that I am her father, the one who cares for her, the one that she can depend on, the one she looks to. She is speaking praise in the right position of her relationship with me, daughter to father. But she is also communicating the vision of who she sees in me, that you are the one who holds us together, who leads us. When storms come, you are calm through them and for us. She is communicating that she sees Dad in these situations for the fullness of who he is. And why is this important as it relates to the prayer of praise in our life? Because as I said before, a posture of praise begins in acknowledging God in our right position with him. David does this by saying ascribe, which means give glory up to God. "I am your son," he is saying. "You are above me, and you deserve all the glory, all the praise that can come from my even whole existence, and you are perfectly strong through all situations. You are enthroned above the flood. You reign over it all." He's praising from a right acknowledgement of his position to a holy and loving God. But he's also acknowledging in this psalm in particular that he, God, is in and through it all. He says, you are over the waters, like I mentioned. You're full of majesty. You break the cedars. You're there with the deer. David has a vision of God being powerful, strong, and in control of all of it. He acknowledges, as Ephesians 4, 6 states, you are one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. That's the vision, this prayer, the psalm is based in today. And I've been asking my heart this whole week, does my praise of God, week in, week out, have the right relational position and vision in mind? Or is it just me at the center of it? Do I have the right understanding that God doesn't owe me a thing? He is king and I am his son just by his sheer grace in Christ. And I have one duty, and that's to glorify him with my whole life. Or do I come in here and say, God, you owe me something? You see, if I'm at the center, I will miss praising as I should. But if he is correctly positioned in our hearts and minds with me as a son, you as a son or daughter, him as Lord, with correct understanding of him, praise will begin to be the outgrowth of our lives. And that's what David, in the construction of the psalm, puts forward, the right relational position and vision of who God is. And that leads me to our second insight from the psalm today, is that praise is based on who God is, not on how my life is. Praise is a prayer that's based on who God is and his character and his attributes, and not on how my life is. You see, I've been pretty transparent with you as a body of with how my life has been in this past year. Like I said, I came on board about a year ago. We're approaching a year in 3 weeks, which is pretty amazing. And it's been a full year of blessing, to be honest with you. It's been a joy to serve you. But in that full year and in that joy, there's been some pretty honestly hard moments. You see, we left our family, everyone we knew, our relational community, and came to a place where we didn't know anyone. But it was God's leading of that, and we're grateful for that. But that left us, to be honest, vulnerable with relationships we don't know, people we don't understand, and it put us in a posture of just having to be open to just enter in. And so there's some vulnerability that had to happen there and some loss of what we have left, but not bad. It's just honestly hard. There's some hard things with leaving everything, you know, right? And then the day we arrived on Texas soil, as I've shared before, we found out that my wife was pregnant. And if you don't know, we had 6 years of infertility, multiple miscarriages before that. So we were like, there must be something in Texas soil that is causing this to happen. And by God's grace, we found out she was pregnant. But fast forward 7 weeks later, as we're still getting to know you, meeting all these faces, we find out that little one had stopped growing at 7 weeks, and we had a miscarriage 2 weeks after that. So there were some honest, hard things and grieving things that we were processing through that, and some questions that we still have. Well, we had also been throughout that whole time, really for the past 24 months prior to that, because we weren't able to conceive, we're walking through the international adoption process. And 2 weeks after we miscarried, we found out we've been waiting 24 months for a referral of a little boy, and we flew off to Bulgaria, but we were still processing the grief and the newness of everything we were in. And after walking through a week in Bulgaria, we just sensed that the Lord was saying, hey, there's a lot happening in your life and a lot of things that honestly we had a lot of questions still, even going to meeting little man, that we came back and prayed, and just having people around us praying with us, we just said, hey, we just don't think the moment is right to step into this in full, because we're still walking in and walking through a lot. So there was some death and questioning in our souls from that, and even some shame, to be honest. And I had lost my stepbrother during that time, 36 years old, just passed away in his sleep. And then 2 weeks ago, a tree decides to fall on our house, right? And the reason why I share all that is not to say, stare at me, not to say, woe is me, but I share that to say we've had a heavy hand of life this year. Maybe one of those things happens in 1 year, but all of it, it's been a year. And we have and still are grieving. We still have pain and have walked through pain and are walking out of it. There are questions and we still have questions about God. But here's what I realized. Here's what I realized through all of these things that happened. That with moving to Texas, we may have left our family and friends, but in God's sovereignty, He's aligned a family, you as brothers and sisters, for us to walk in this new time and space. And He has been sovereignly orchestrating these things all along. That even through walking through the miscarriage, the OBGYN said, you know the silver lining with it all? I didn't want to hear a silver lining at the time. But the silver lining was that we could conceive after 6 years of infertility. There was hope there. And by God's grace, my wife is 24 weeks pregnant now. So praise God for that. He's been gracious to us in that. Through the loss of my stepbrother or the processing out of the international adoption process, we had community around us speaking wisdom and life into us. And that is just the generosity of God that we have. And even being displaced over these past few weeks, we've had people say, hey, here's our home, stay with us. Here's meals, let's get you taken care of. We'll take care of washing your clothes. All these things is God's generosity on display. And I share that to say, are my circumstances real? Yes. Are they hard? Yes. But my praise of God is not based on the circumstances of life that I walk in, but they are based on who my God is. Church, we serve a God who is fully in control of both the universe and your life better than you are, who is sovereignly aligning things for our good, even if they don't feel good. A God who is infinitely stronger to carry your burdens better than you are. A God that is just to discipline those He loves and brings judgment on those who deny Him. A God that deserves all our glory, as David suggests, whose voice is powerful and mighty, who created all of this that we live in and created and knit us, me, together with such intricacy, purpose, and meaning. You see, what David realizes in this psalm that we need to reclaim is that the basis of his prayer is that praise from the deepest parts of who we are is based on who God is alone. Not based on how our life is. And here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying life is easy. In fact, in a lot of ways, there's so much suffering happening in our world and in our church and in our own personal lives because of sin and brokenness. You may have far deeper pain, hurts, and wounds than I ever will have, but even in that, my prayer for you is to press in to the truth of who God is and His character and His attributes, and you will find that He is the only thing that doesn't change. The one who hears your cry and is ultimately the best at holding you, the one who loves you far more than the relationship you may be in, and graciously disciplines you even if you walk astray to point you back towards who He truly is. Church, my question for you, my question for me, my question for us is, do you come here each and every week and the level of praise that you bring to the Lord is based on how good you feel? Based on how your situation was this week, based on how maybe well your kids behaved or that job you did or didn't get, or the relationship status that you are in. Is that where your praise is based from? Because that's always going to change. Or is how deeply we praised and pray to God based on who He is? So if they're based on the things of this world, we won't be a people of prayer and praise at all. But do we come here each week and every week expecting to come into contact with a holy, loving, gracious, sovereign, powerful, glorious, personal, and loving God, to see Him through what is taught, served, and is saying? We must remember, church, that true praise is based on who God is, not on how our lives are. David recognizes, do we? And the last thing, it begins in a right understanding of our position and vision. It's based in who God is, not on how our life is. But praise reveals itself, is displayed in a lifestyle of worship. Praise reveals itself in a lifestyle of worship. Jackie Hill Perry, who's one of my favorite authors, She's a theologian. She has a story that God has transformed her from. In her book, Gay Girl, Good God, she writes this quote that hits so deep. She writes, "He is so much greater than the greatest thing and much more glorious than the most glorious glory the eyes could see. Knowing this, he becomes the aim of all our doing." Because if God is bigger than we can imagine, we are wasting our time chasing after something or someone lesser than him. And because we know that he is our all in all, we have the vision to see it, in our temptations, our trials, and our victories, we must place our ultimate identity not in who we are, but in who we know God to be. He becomes the aim of all of our doing. What Jackie Hill Perry is saying to us, what this prayer of praise from David is saying to us, is that our lives, our aim of all of our doing should be to worship who he is and live in a lifestyle of worship. Let me recap for us the gospel, because it kind of is important to the framing of it all. You see, God created us. He created the world we live in. He created it perfectly in his perfect design. And he created us as humanity in his image. And he says it's very good. And we were to walk with him. We were to have purpose and work. We were called to cultivate the garden in which he has placed us and give us dominion over that. And that was the good plan of God. But then we decided to jack it up. We decided to say, hey, we think we know better, so we're going to do outside what God has commanded. Instead of running wholeheartedly with God, we're going to do it ourselves. And what did God do? Sin banished us apart from a holy, loving God, and the sinful people couldn't do business together, because that's not just and right. So God let us live in our sin, and he still graciously said, hey, I'm going to provide a future hope. And he allowed people to walk in their sin and brokenness. And that's the world we still live into today, with all of its consequences due to sin and brokenness. But God said, I'm just not going to leave you there. I'm going to provide the ultimate sacrifice, because I love you. And I'm going to give that which was most precious to me in my son, Jesus. That he's going to walk among you. He's going to put on humanity, live as we live, to be the visible image of the invisible God. And you will know his mercy. You will know his justice. You will know his love. You will know his compassion. But I'm not just going to have him walk among humanity. I'm going to have him take on the curse of sin and stain. And Jesus died on the cross for our sin and our brokenness, so that we could be welcomed back into a relationship with a holy God, because our sin deserved death and separation. But Jesus' life and life laid down brought us reunification with God's good design in the person and work of Jesus. And so now we can know this loving and holy God, and we can praise him. Why can we praise him? Only because of what Jesus has done. The breath that we have is a grace from him. The breath to give him back the praise that he rightly deserves is even his gracious gift. And church, if that doesn't cause us to be people of praise, that story that we don't deserve, and to live lifestyles of worship, and he becomes the aim of all of our doing, then what are we doing? We're just playing a game, a rat race. And if you don't know this Jesus, I'm going to tell you that at the end of your striving, at the end of your finding hope in other things, it's going to run out, and you still will be separated and get wrath from a loving and holy God. But you can know him today because of Christ. And here is what prayer reveals itself in, is saying he becomes the aim of all of our doing, like Jackie Hill Perry writes. David writes, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Give him our words, give him our actions, worship in the splendor of holiness. Let us present ourselves as living sacrifice to say, here's my stuff, God, do with it what you will. Not how much do I keep, I mean, not how much do I give, how much do I keep, God? How can I make your name known where I work? How can my words honor you? How can how I serve honor you?" Like we saw this past week. I saw so many UB representative volunteers serving these kids, doing dances for like 4.5 hours, right? All for one reason, so that these kids could know the gospel, and there's fruit that God bore because of that. Even if one was saved, it would have all been worth it. And there were many that came to know the gospel of who this Jesus was because they lived lifestyles of worship in these moments. My question for us, and my position of this idea, is because one of our core values at Grace is worship, and what we mean when we say worship is an appropriate response to the awareness of God. When we see our invitation back into relationship with God because of Christ, when we see the God sovereign in and all and through, when we see him for who he is, shouldn't we just live in awe and say, here's my life, Lord. Here's my life, Lord. How can I receive and see you in service today? How can I serve others as many did this week with Summer Ignite, like I mentioned? I want to see them to see you. It's taking everything we've been given and giving it back. You see, a church, the prayer of praise reveals itself in our lifestyle of worship as we lay down our lives for the gospel. Not just in a song that's sung, not just in hands raised, but in a revealing of our right position and vision of God that is based on who God is and is poured out in our lives of worship. We're going to be singing a song shortly after I pray, but it's called Ancient Gates. And it's a song about elevating our eyes off of this horizontal reality onto the vertical reality that Jesus welcomes us into a relationship with God, to sing him as worthy of all our song, our voice. And I want you to have in mind maybe just one moment this week where you saw God's work in your life and you just thank him and raise your eyes off of what you're walking through right now onto his goodness and his faithfulness in your life this week. Because God, church, as we begin to see our right position with him and vision of who he is, praise will start to come out. As we understand it's based on who he is, not my life, is we become people of praise. And as we live our lifestyles of worship by his grace and grace alone, we will see and become a people of praise. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you alone are worthy. God, you alone have sovereignly aligned all of our lives and the story that you have welcomed us into, not because of our own doing. Nothing we could work our way into would actually write the relationship, but because of what you did through sending your son, we can have life and have it abundantly right now by your spirit that is in us if we submit to Christ. And God, I pray that we see ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High King. The one who is powerful, the one that is in control, the one who has everything aligned better than we ever can. The one who loves us to graciously discipline us and loves us so much that he sent that which was most important in Christ. And God, we thank you for that. And I pray that we elevate our eyes off of our circumstances and see you for who you are, the ever constant loving Father who is just and right. And God, as we stare upon you, let our hearts just be overwhelmed with praise because of what you have done and what you've welcomed us into. And God, my heart is for those who don't know you as King, don't see you as seated above the throne. And I pray that they come to repentance of their sin, to lean into Christ and what he has done, so that they can not only have life for tomorrow, but life in today by your Spirit. God, let us be that people. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let us stand in response, church.